Hello, this is Dr. Mark, Doctor of Business Administration and owner of reflexivityspace.org website and blog. Today we continue with our podcast series with Mike, my friend Mike. This is podcast number 5, recorded on 16th of December, 2022. Hello, Mike. How are you today?
Hello, Mark. I'm doing well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm perfect, thank you, as always. It's getting cold here in Switzerland. Mike, would you mind to start a conversation as you usually do and maybe discuss one, two issues that you have experienced in the past
Yes.
or recently in the present? And from there, we'll go into the 7 Hertz alpha brainwaves, if that is fine with you.
Sounds good.
Brilliant.
Let's
Please
see.
shoot.
We're changing things up a little bit today, so this is a kind of a random offering. I'm going to term my preface this morning, or today, I should say, as brain yoga. In essence, we're doing stretches with our minds, with our brains, and I think of it, I like the word muscle lengthening, like stretches or brain lengthening. We're increasing the reach of our awareness. Much like exercise, I'm going to say weightlifting, full extensions required or complete contractile functions are required. So if I'm doing a squat, I got to sit down on the ground practically and do a complete rep. In that gestalt, there's a complete aspect of what we need to do to really build our minds. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit about the structure of the brain. When we talk about learning and programming the brain centers, it requires full reps, as I said, but let's think of another way, almost like deep breathing, requires a conscious effort. It becomes learned, but to start out, it's something you have to think about, let's say in yoga or various activities. The other component that I think I want to emphasize is strong passion or desire or sense of importance must be associated to an event so that the brain can tag chemically, hormonally itself in identifying areas that need to be repaired or to be exercised, I guess is an expression. I do a lot of projects. An example I would use, let's say building amplifiers or power supplies. I'm working on a circuit and inspiration hits me at 3 o'clock in the morning and boop, I'm rather than sleeping, I'm up and awake and I won't put my head back down on the pillow until I've solved it. So most often times this passion or this strong sense of need results in me being utterly fatigued, tired from exercising equations in my head or scenarios or laying out things. So again, I can't emphasize enough that it can't be a casual effect. It's got to be something in terms of deep learning and deep structural remapping, which is kind of what we're talking about when it comes to health and politics and beliefs and our spirituality. We got to go deeper into the core. It's almost like reformatting a hard drive on a computer or rebuilding a system or structure. Anything you'd like to add to that, Mark, before we go on?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense because there is two types of learning. There is the learning that is based on a stimuli or stimuli, which is when it's the, but when we when we feel an imbalance in something, our experience wouldn't serve us to solve the problem. So we do learn because we have to transcend two thresholds. One is the threshold of attention, and the second one, the threshold of awareness. Only then do we learn. But we then tend to learn only as much as is required to solve the problem, to rebalance. So it's not really higher order learning. Second is the higher order learning experience, right? This is a
Yes.
conscious process, oftentimes based on curiosity, want to know something, and requires somehow research or playing around with some constructs. So this is, in other words, this is the psychological explanation of what you just addressed. It's absolutely correct. Go ahead, please.
I absolutely enjoy engaging with you, Mark, because on my list of notes is Maslowian sort of hierarchy of being. And as you indirectly just said, there's deficiency motivation, there's growth motivation. And I studied this form of psychology or beliefs back when I was in high school or teenager, and it was the basis for me building a life based on growth motivation. In essence, I learned to diet and eat and exercise to favor a healthy living more than the way I looked in the mirror. To me, deficiency motivation would be, well, I don't look good in the mirror, I better do something. Growth motivation would be like, I want more of myself. So when we talk about kind of a track, again, coming back to this type of deep fundamental learning has to take place in a very serious or very earnest core, if you might say it that way. The brain only responds to this sort of tagging while we're sleeping. So in essence, we're doing the activities, we're learning, we're making marks in our brain. I believe it's acetylcholine, and I think it's epinephrine, which surprised me. I was studying acetylcholine as it relates to anticholinergics, as it relates to antihistamines, which is a whole nother longer conversation, but how we limit some of our brain function by regular use of antihistamines. Well, in studying acetylcholine, it brought me back to the learning. So to keep on track with that. So in essence, we're thinking, we're processing, we're in deep study. The brain maps itself and goes back and tags these points or meta tags them. It's something that we do and we work on. Again, to me, part of the growth motivation is putting it as a focus of I need to do this because, or it's important because of a reason. Another aspect that I want to talk about, and we'll fold this into the whole of kind of brain control or brain mapping or trying to direct our thinking. There's two psychological terms. I'd rather defer to Mark on this, but there's a Freudian-based thinking and there's a P.D. Ouspensky, which was a really amazing Russian person, whatever. And Ouspensky's thinking was that there are many cells making up our being. And in essence, in my interpretation, we access the best ones for given tasks. So let's say there are 13 mics that do whatever chores. Well, the accountant is not going to be the salesperson, is not going to be the dietitian, is not going to be whatever the metaphors. So in essence, we need to recognize that we have a complex makeup, and certain times we need to surrender a certain portion of ourselves to elevate other more active, more gainful functions of our personality. And in essence, not all cells are created equally. Anything you'd like to add to that, Mark?
No, but I would like to come back. You mentioned the Maslowian framework, the motivational pyramid or the pyramid of needs. And this is something very interesting. I always teach that to my students. So yes, the human beings strive to reach higher levels in that pyramid. It's assumed that this is how we function. But I would say once you have covered the first three levels of that pyramid, you can consciously say or decide not to strive to reach higher. For instance, you could say, okay, I'm going to live up somewhere in a mountain, very remote in a hut. It's possible. We can consciously take such decisions. So it's a bit wrong to assume that we want to strive up. And the second point is, if we look at that, and that's amazing. Not only is it the motivational pyramid or the pyramid of needs, it is an economic reality model. Look at it. Look at the bottom of the pyramid principle. Where are most people living? In the lower parts.
Sometimes I wonder if it's just they don't know that there's something else, or hopefully some of what we're prompting may bring people to thinking outside of maybe convention or what they've been taught. To me, the Maslowian sort of hierarchy of being aspects really pushed me towards being a more growth motivated person, that I actively sought out teachers, I actively sought out learning. And I think where I'm headed with this is there are different centers of the brain, and let's think about those real quickly as an overview. What engages them and what shuts them down? You know, it's clearly an on-off switch of sorts. Right now, the majority of humans are living in their brainstem, the reptilian brain, the fight or flight, the fear-based, you know, with the media and all this concern and boogie monsters and terrorism. So it's not allowing people to access their neocortex, senses of logic, and or probably more importantly, where we're heading in the course of our conversations today is to the love center or to the limbic system. So for me, being a weightlifter for most of my life and an athlete, I wasn't a blockhead. I had a greater sense of reason than that, but I knew I actively was living in my reptilian brainstem. It's how I could squat 400 pounds or how I could do crazy weightlifting because I had to tap deep into a core that didn't involve emotion, didn't involve logic. But as I went in life, I knew I needed to get back to my limbic system. Neocortex logic is very easy for me because it's something that I do is a lot of construct. So we talk about the PD-Ospinsky model. There are going to be different centers within just those three basic constructs that can be engaged, or in some aspects need to be detuned. In this case, the reptilian brainstem. It's easy to identify certain people in the way they speak and the way they conduct themselves in terms of which centers they may be coming from. I think more than, if you will, expressing that judgment, I'm asking people to look within to the core structures of sort of the way we are and the way we behave. So again, I want to emphasize my real sense of importance in this period of life. I'm in my 60s, is not to be as gregarious, not to be as brain centered, but to be in my heart and be more in a center of love, in a center of place I want to be, in a center of joy. Anything you care to add to that, Mark?
Yeah, in a way, you're addressing the issue with neuroplasticity, right? I mean,
Yes, sir.
we know it is possible when we do learn for knowledge creation or out of curiosity, we can rewire our brain. Maybe not the stem brain, but certainly the frontal lobe. We can
Yes.
rewire and we can reconfigure our brain very much like a software. Let's say on an electrical basis. So if you think of the brain to be an electrochemical organ, at least I think we can less, let's say, affect the chemical processes going on, but the electrical process, kind of rewiring, is possible. Your thoughts about that?
Well, that's where I use the term metatagging, where hormonally parts of our brain centers are identified to where the brain can actively identify and target areas of need or areas of repair, or areas where they may need more blood supply, as an example. So there is a point that there's something that divine that goes on. I keep saying it, I'm sorry, I will, is it cannot be a background element or issue matter. It's got to be in the forefront of something you really need to do. If we think about it right now, we're in a period of attack for our beings, literally. So the prospect of learning or taking on some new ideals or new standards of viewing things is vital to be able to have discernment to keep safe. So to me, getting back to what Mark had said, there's a process whereby we do. How we're able to remap and reconfigure the brain. I think being consciously aware of it helps. I think being aware of our awareness, if that makes sense, helps. And then the other component, having a base idea of the way the brain works. So I kind of want to apologize to everybody. Mark and I discussed going on this sort of ideal more than the tech talk because we feel like it interrelates to a breadth or series of things we want to talk about moving forward. To try to put some of the how-tos on what I'm identifying as sort of an abstract, I'll relate to my own life experience where I was 14, I think. I was a teenager, and one of the neighborhood kids had gone to a class. His whole family attended. It was called Silva Mind Control. And I was fascinated because this particular person was always really cheerful, bright. They were always helpful, just had this really generous spirit. So I was drawn to David, I mean, a couple of other kids. And David taught us the principles of Silva, and they changed it from Silva Mind Control to Silva Method of Mind Development. I think people were buzzed, freaked out by the mind control. And to put it wraps to it, I want to control my mind. I don't want to control somebody else's. I don't see any benefits, not the way I'm wired. So I hope to dispel any sense of pushback people might have that with the wording of the conventions. But essentially what it was it taught me as an adolescent boy a way of engaging certain prospects, certain thoughts. It gave me a way of detuning like negative people, negative circumstances. It gave me a way of really using a good, if you want to call it, filter over life. And part of it was a prospect was, I'm going to call it controlled relaxation, or it could be termed meditation, but let's take another word is active waking meditation, where I could sit, put my three fingers together, go to 7 hertz alpha. I'll explain more about it, but I could get to my point, sit there at the table, with people talking and be normal. I didn't have to cross my legs, sit in a missionary position and wear an orange robe. But I could actually immediately engage a space that I could function clearly through. And it was, 7 hertz of the alpha waveform, which would be what the universe resonates uninhibited. Or if you look at a candle that's undisturbed, it's flickering at 7 hertz. So that's a magic target. There's talk. I saw Joe Dispenza, I think it was, talking about enacting and engaging the pineal gland. And I struggle with some things. I don't want to be negative on that, but I'll focus back to my thinking was, rather than higher frequencies, beta is where we're on now, which is about 15, 14, 15 hertz. And then above that is a higher level. We don't have our best function levels. Our best levels are in the lower frequencies. And if we look at it, as we were talking about light, the lower the frequency, the higher the amplitude, or the more strength, the bigger the wave front it is, if we're thinking about like water. So 7 hertz is a fundamental, it's something that we tune to, or tuning to the universe. And we think of it as a construct when we're talking about EMF on the household wiring, is you could have a 60 hertz signal going through your wiring, and you could impose noise on top of it in a bad sort of way. And in this sense, we're taking the 7 hertz as our base carrier frequency, and we're superimposing, or I don't really like the term, but we're doing high speed downloads of data information through this mechanism. So we're using this very, very powerful, very potent, very, I'm going to say calming also, energy waveform, and we're working within it. That's hard to put the word, Mark. I'm sorry. Is there anything more you'd either like to take out of that, or subtract, or
Yeah,
change that we're
no. I you so we what I understand, 7 hertz would be our ideal frequency, and we are
Yes.
constantly exposed to higher frequency at the moment. So is there then a possibility to kind of consciously lower the frequency? I mean, okay, we take out as much as possible the noise from the 60 hertz or 220 to 240, right? Household electricity. Is there ways to kind of other ways of kind of consciously going to this 7 hertz?
Breath, breathing is the easiest way. I'll use an example. I mentioned in other conversations, I flew a lot, and I'm not a jittery type, but I'd have occasions where I'm worried about returning my rental car, getting gas, getting something to eat, making my flight, getting home on time, making a meeting, whatever. But I would be overwhelmed. I'd almost have panic attacks, which I don't, but I would get this just uncontrollable. If I could sit down, take a deep breath, I put my three fingers together, and Silva's called three finger technique, but I could immediately induce alpha. I could rid my mind of this fast paced, erratic heart rate, brainwave, and even breathing. But breathing would be the easiest way for people to center. When we first started experimenting, and I'm an adolescent boy, we sat around in a room and we talked about ideas, but we would close our eyes and imagine a light bulb. And in my case, it was a 60 watt bulb, and I could see the marking on the bulb. I could turn the light bulb up bright, turn it down dim. I got to a point where I could actually feel the heat off the bulb, but I really tried to just, so I just focused on the bulb and nothing else. So when we think of meditation, let's not think of yogas in certain places and up on hills as much as just clearing the mind of things that don't suit the moment and making a conscious choice to embody another thought, feeling, love, or in this case, a frequency that's a fundamental that will help us to get where we need to go.
Mike, I have a fundamental question.
Yes.
So, one day 60 this 60 volt and this 220 to 240 in Europe were implemented, and then all the appliances were tuned to function under this frequency, correct?
Yes.
Good. Could we have introduced another frequency band and then done the appliances to function in this frequency band that would have been more beneficial to us as human beings?
The problem, as I see it, as I understand your question, is let's think again about light and how I talked about lower frequencies have more amplitude, higher frequencies have lower weight volume push. It's a smaller wavefront, if you want to think of it that way. So the problem with changing the frequency in terms of universal transmitting a different frequency, at least is what we've been told to know, is it would be difficult to get a 20,000 hertz AC type of signal and have any amplitude or any push with it, whereas 60 cycles or 50 cycles, which are the fundamental frequencies used across a planet, it transmits with great power and great amperage, great ability over longer distances. So to me, the prospect would be difficult in transmitting. That said, we
So,
know there's
you would say the problem would be to deliver it over long distance. It would you wouldn't have enough power, so to say. It would be lost in
based
heat
on what
or.
we know, the exception to that would be what have they not told us about scalar and Tesla stuff? So there may be science that falls outside of what I'm saying because of obscured or obfuscated science based on Tesla. So there may be something else, but as we see it in the world we live, there's no way we could do a different frequency. Personally, I would rather have 60 or 50 hertz than high frequency because it's going to have an electromagnetic field, but it won't approach the point of being like an ionizing radiation where the wavefront is so small, it's going to bite at and attack and pick on DNA and pick on cells and find things. 60 cycles is pretty benign in terms of not harming the body, if that makes sense. If you look at the high voltage lines, as you know, they're running super high frequencies. They're not, these ones that you see on the big tower power lines. I think it's 20. It's I think it's in the hundreds of thousands of volts, but it's ridiculously high frequency and high voltage. I'm saying that wrong. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm contradicting myself. The high voltage lines put out an EMF signal that's different what would be our home. It would be more of an RF type of signal, whereas what's in our home would be
Yeah,
an extreme low
it's
frequency.
that is really funny because these are the only lines in Switzerland, no, that are above ground. All the rest is underground. I told that already once. And so we went on holiday in another valley here. And I didn't know that, but these high power lines went over this kind of recreational area. Unbelievable, no? So we were very close to them for 1 month. I don't believe it. They are making really noise.
Oh yeah, it's almost like a
Them
burning, crackling sound.
noise.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. So it must be very, very high voltage going through those cables. I didn't feel comfortable there, honestly. I was very happy when the holiday was over. Couldn't live there for a long time, I guess.
Well, we're
This
hearing what might
cannot
be.
be good, no, for
No,
the
we're
human
hearing
body.
what could be thought of as ionization. So essentially, you've got this huge magnetic field really riding outside of the wire, the surface of the wire, and we're hearing almost the electrons cracking and snapping against one another. It's kind of wrong, but there's something really intense there. I wouldn't want to be near something like that over extended periods.
No, absolutely not. And you mentioned something before, and it's just you mentioned mind control, right? And
Yes.
I'm just I have come across a very good documentary about that. Fortunately, it is 650 mega bytes big, and I don't find kind of a compressor software that would let me compress it down to post it on reflexivityspace.org. I would then title that one "When Behavioral Psychology Meets Cybernetics." This is what went on now after, even before the second, also during the Second World War, and fast forward. There's all a plan behind, you know. Sorry to say that. It's not technical, but yeah.
No.
But I hope I somehow managed to find a free software where I can down convert this to post it ASAP. Very important.
I risk interrupting you, but I want to say it before I forget, is I want to make a distinction that when we talk about mind control, there's the evil type that's a third party outside of us trying to manipulate. And then there's the type that's internal dialogue for me to do mind control to heal a wound, or when I had blood poisoning and I imagined a white German shepherd eating up the bacteria the next day, the line's gone. That's the type of mind control I'm talking about. And I think the bigger picture, what we've been programmed to think of mind control, is almost like talking about drones or remote controlled aircraft. You know, to me, drone is all big and dirty and scary, so is mind control. But a remote controlled helicopter is a different thing. It's something that you or I could work with. So in essence, I want to be careful of the distinction. I'm not pushing back on you, Mark, as much as I don't want people to misinterpret as the naming or reconvention or the renaming of the Silva to method of mind control. It's really about self-directed thinking, or how to position your thoughts. Can I evolve it or take it another step in relation to this too, or can
Yeah,
I
I would
keep them?
just like to say something. So maybe based on my experience in Western Central Africa, mind control can see it from a different perspective, from this voodoo perspective as well, right? So I do understand there is positive mind control. You are absolutely right. As long as it is used in the positive way, it's brilliant because it's very, very strong. But the opposite is true as well. And I have experienced this also during my 15 years in Western Central Africa. It is unbelievable how you can misuse it on people and they react on it.
I believe in voodoo. I believe in dark magic, dark powers. They're
No,
frightening to me because
this
they're
is,
very real.
you must be completely aware of it, that you cannot be targeted. You must really go to a higher state and you must fight it. It will work. It cannot work against your will. But most people are not aware, and so they can be targeted, you see, or they're even scared. Many people that live there and they know this is practiced are scared from the get-go, and so you become a target. That's maybe one day we have to elaborate on my experiences revolving around that topic.
What
But
I like about
go
what you're
ahead.
offering is, at a point, we're talking about changing our ideas, reordering some of our beliefs. And I'm going to add to that, in addition to what you're saying, is I'd like to promote the idea that we can develop filters, even if they're imagined, if that makes
Yes.
sense. If we create them in our
Yes.
mind, filters to protect from evil people, from voodoo. If I've got a friend that's just an overtly negative person, I love them, but I pay a price for being around them. I need a filter. If it's just me grounding myself down to the planet and tuning that energy out of my being. So I like what you're talking about, that there's a point that hopefully, as we develop the course of conversation we're having, part of my hope is based on some of the learning and some of the things I've started talking about. There are definitely ways to creatively imagineer, if you will, tools, things that can help us to navigate things that are sort of difficult to understand.
No, definitely. It's all a mind and strength of will. And also, first you need to be aware, and then you can counter it with your mind strength, I would say. But go ahead. Because those are all frequencies, right? These are all frequencies. They can be positive or negative. But go ahead.
I imagine what you just said is when I travel for a living and I'd be in a strange city, New York or Boston or wherever, and it's 10 o'clock at night, I'm alone, I'm going from my car rental into my hotel, and you project your awareness around, to see if there's anybody around, or in essence, to try to consider outside of yourself your margins of safety. It's almost like you're walking the sidewalk and you mentally project for a split second yourself standing on top of the building or
Mike,
standing on the light tower. Yes,
we have
yes.
no remaining meeting time. If you listen to this, you are the resistant. Cheers, Mike. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.